I know it's a wonderful cool morning, and I know it's wonderfully cool in here. Sorry about that. I guess we'll look into that and see what's going on there. We had an opportunity, Deanna and I, yesterday to spend with our grandkids and our kids and her parents and her brother and family. And so if I fall asleep during my sermon, Eric, you're allowed to leave. Okay. We got back late last night, but it was a wonderful time. The earliest we've had Christmas ever as a family, but it was the weekend that it worked out for everybody, and I mean everybody, and it was good to see all of them and spend some time with them, and it was good to eat some good food. We did not have a traditional Christmas dinner. My sons had gotten together and made us a Mexican meal that was out of this world. And we had a one. We've decided we're starting a new Christmas tradition and have a Mexican meal, but Thanksgiving is going to stay with turkey and dressing. My oldest son said we're not changing that for anything. Today's story is a second part of the story, so I want to let you know the first part first, so that you're aware of it in case this is not a story that you're familiar with. Zechariah and his wife are elderly folks. And Elizabeth has never had children. And as I read the story and understand it in the first chapter of the book of Luke, they are both past childbearing age and no longer expect to see a child. But that has been a prayer their whole life, to have a child. Well, Zechariah is one who is a Levite, and it has become his time, his one chance in his life to go in to the actual sanctuary of the Lord and replace the incense. And as he goes in, he is there, and I can only imagine his prayer still is for a child. And it says the angel Gabriel comes to meet him there inside the tabernacle, inside the temple. Remember, this is his one chance in life, probably, to be there. And as he comes into there, Gabriel meets with him and says, "Your wife is to have a child." And explains to him all about the situation and what to call the child. This is what the angel said to him in chapter 1. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before their Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow, what a wonderful thing to hear, huh? They have been praying their whole life for a child. And the angel Gabriel tells him, "You will have a child. And here's how important your child will be." And Zechariah asks the angel, men, play close notice. This is where, when you speak up, you probably shouldn't have. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and will not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. And when Zechariah comes out, he can't speak. And all the people realize that he has seen a vision, but they don't know what's going on. And he can't speak and tell them. Now, there's indications also that he may have lost his hearing. The angel didn't say that, but there are indications he may have also lost his hearing. Imagine what that was like. And it says that he went home after his time of service and his wife conceived. And then it also says that she hid herself for 5 months and didn't let anybody know that she was pregnant. They just couldn't believe it was going to happen. They couldn't even believe it was going to happen once she became pregnant. And one of the beautiful stories is that after Mary is told by the angel that she will have a child, she comes to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said, "The child has jumped in my belly at the presence of my Savior." Absolutely incredible. And then John is born. And when John is born, what happens then is absolutely incredible. Because they asked Elizabeth, "What shall we name of the child?" And she said, "Name him John." Now, I'm sure her and Zechariah have talked along the way. Well, he didn't talk. But I'm sure he wrote lots of scraps of paper. And Elizabeth read lots. And maybe they have already talked about that his name will be John. Well, all the wonderful neighbors that have come to attend to Elizabeth and be there to help her during this birth of this important child are totally aghast that they're going to name the son John. They say, "You have no one in your family named John. You can't name your son that." John means, by the way, John, if you translate it, means blessed by God, or blessed from God is what John means. Because it's an incredible blessing. They never expected at their age to have a child. And by the way, Zechariah will never get a chance to go to the temple again. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So they grab a hold of him, and this is where I say it appears as maybe though he can't hear either, but I know that's the men condition anyway. At least that's what I've been told from plenty of women, that men don't hear. So these wonderful neighbors get a hold of Zechariah and they say, "Hey, your wife's lost it." Okay, that's not in the scripture, but that's what they're saying. "She wants to name your child John, and you don't have a John." And he takes a piece of paper and he writes down, "His name is John." And then we have the scripture that I want to read for today. And that's why I think it's important for you to know the first part of the story. Okay? Verse 67 is where I'm going to start. I know she has 68 up there, but it says, "His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. Absolutely incredible. You know what I wonder? I wonder how much time from the time that he couldn't talk to this moment has Zechariah been thinking about writing this and about the song that he's going to sing, because it's a song, really. We don't have the tune for it, but it's a song. To think about what all this means, to think about what he has heard from the angel Gabriel, I can only imagine what in his mind and maybe on pieces of paper, he's been thinking about this song the whole time. And it says the Holy Spirit prompts him to sing it. And he sings it out, and that's the first thing that he talks. After more than 9 months without talking, Zechariah speaks words of prophecy. He speaks words of prophecy. After more than 9 months, he finally can speak again. Now, I don't know what that would be like. I really don't. I mean, I will admit there's a lot of times, I told you we came back to and back Farmville within the past 2 days. There's a great tendency when Dan and I are in the car, I don't speak. That's just me. You guys think I talk all the time. Well, that's what you asked me to do here. You asked me to bring you a message from God. So I talk to do that. Because I'm not creative enough to do it through dance. Okay? But to spend over 9 months without ever saying a word. And then this is the first word you say? These are the words you speak? Words of prophecy. Words of prophecy. To be a prophet means to speak for God. That's what it means to be a prophet. It doesn't mean to always talk about the end times and the apocalypse and how things are going to finish up here on earth. That's only one little piece of prophecy. That's not the whole picture of prophecy. Zechariah is speaking words. It said in, that's why I read verse 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. These words about what God, these are words about what God is doing around the people now. These are not words of prophecy for a time far off and in the distance somewhere, somewhere way in the future. These are not that type of prophecy words. These are words for what's happening right now in the presence of these people. To be a prophet, in the very simplest definition, is to speak for God. That's what it means to be a prophet, to speak for God, to take the time. He's had over 9 months of silence to sit and to listen for what God wants him to say when his son is born. He's had time to ponder. He's had time to wonder. He's had time to say, now, God, I remember what Gabriel said, but tell me again. What is this about? He's had time to sit still and just listen for what God has to say to him. And I want to say for a lot of us, we don't have that. We stay so busy moving from one activity to the next, and I got to get this done, and I got to get this done, and I got to get this done, that we don't stop sometimes and just say, God, what is it you're trying to say to me today? What is it you're trying to say to me right now? And for 9 months, I'm thinking that's all Zechariah was doing, was just rethinking through this vision. And he shares about the small part his son will play in God's work. He doesn't share about how great and wonderful his son will be and how his son will overpower everything else. He talks about the little piece that his son John will play. It was in verse 76 is where it starts. It says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven." He says, John, you will be the one that prepares the way. You will be the one that starts the telling of the story as a prophet. Maybe you remember, there are times that Jesus' disciples look at him and say, we were told that Elijah would come first before the Messiah comes. Is John Elijah? And Jesus says, yes. He gives them that understanding that he has already come, that he has already made that message, that he has already spoken about. And John was one who was in the wilderness. Sometimes I want to admire John, and then sometimes I want to go, I'm glad I didn't live his life. He lives out in the midst of the wilderness his whole life. The last verse of this chapter says, verse 80, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel." He lived out in the midst of the wilderness. I have a feeling that their climate's a little bit warmer year-round there, and it was a little bit easier. I love being out in the woods, but when it's this temperature, to live there the whole time is a challenge. Have done it, but it's a challenge. But John was, he just wore coarse clothing, nothing special, nothing to elevate him above anybody else. He had honey every day to eat, and I'm assuming he had lots of honey, because it says he ate locusts, okay? He ate grasshoppers and honey. So I'm assuming he had lots of honey to put on grasshoppers in order to get them down. But he prepared the way. He did exactly what his father said. He went out in the midst of the wilderness and he lived, and he prepared a way of telling the people, you need to come and repent of your sins. You need to repent. And he baptized people for repentance of sins. He didn't baptize as we do. Well, the form was the same. But he was calling people for forgiveness of their sins, that they would come and confess that they were sinners. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him. And one day, Jesus comes to him and says, will you baptize me? And John says, no. Because this baptism is for repentance of sins. And I know that you haven't sinned. And Jesus says it must be done. And Jesus walks that way. And that's one of the reasons that we believe in baptism the way that we do, is that people, baptism doesn't save you. It's an outward expression of something that's already inwardly happened in your heart. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will go to heaven, whether you're baptized or not. But we baptize because that's the path that Jesus took. And in obedience to what Jesus did and what we should do, we're baptized. And we believe as Baptists that baptism is by immersion, because that's the laying down of the old self and coming out into the new life. It's a complete illustration of that, of being buried with Christ and resurrected to a new life. And John was the one that was preparing people for that with the majority of the song. The majority of the song that Zechariah sings is about the Savior God is sending now. Now. Not somewhere way off in the future. It's about the Savior God is sending now. Prophecy for the moment. God's word for that moment, that time, that place where they are. That's what this prophecy is for. There's so much here about Jesus. I continue as often as I can, and sometimes I miss it, to use the liturgy of the hours as especially my morning quiet time. This song is used every morning prayer. I've been reading this psalm every morning, missed a few here and there, since I came back off my sabbatical. Every morning I read this. And it continues to be new and exciting and fresh. It continues to be wonderful in what it says about what God wants to do for the people. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come to His people to redeem them. I have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? I've been bought back from Satan's possession. I've been bought back. I've been made new again. I've been rebirthed, regenerated, renewed. And I can keep on recreated. I can keep going. So many things because of what God did through Jesus Christ. You know those old things in my past that I don't want to tell you about, that are skeletons in the closet? God's redeemed me from every one of them. And Satan wants to remind me sometimes that that holds me back. And I'm like, you know what, Satan? I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. Those are dismissed. They're gone. I've been made new. I've been given rebirth. You cannot hold me back, because God has raised up a horn of salvation for us. That's a picture from the Old Testament. The altar that they had four horns, one on each corner. And when you were seeking sanctuary, you came and grabbed the horn of the altar. And God has now raised up a horn of salvation. I don't need to run to the temple. God has raised it up already. Salvation from our enemies, from the hands of those who hate us, because God is willing to show mercy, and God is willing to remember the holy covenant that He made with Abraham. Do you know where that goes all the way back to? Genesis chapter 12. All the way back. And God has remembered that covenant all the way back to that time and says, I will make it true to you today. But the thing that really gets me is the last verse, verse 79. And it's a verse that so needs to be true for our day. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Why does the Savior come? The Savior will bring a great light into the midst of people living in darkness. A great light. And as I've read this over and over and over again for a few months now, what's the very first thing that God created? Light. What's the very first thing the Savior is going to do for us? Bring light in the midst of darkness. Light. To shine the way. To show us the path to walk. To show us. Here's what's really incredible to me. I can live the way God wants me to. Because God supplies the power to do that. I can live the way that God wants me to because God provides the light that I can see the way. And without God, this is a world of darkness. Without the Savior, this is a world that doesn't know where to find the truth. Without the Savior, this is a world that will always walk in war. It was great to see this morning that it appears as though the war is over in Syria. I didn't realize until the other day, it's been going on for 14 years. 14 years. We've been praying for Ukraine. We've been praying for the things that have happened in Israel and Gaza and Jordan and Lebanon. And this war has been going on for 14 years. So now I'm praying that somehow the Savior comes into the midst of that and brings some light. Because now they're not sure what's going to happen there. And we need to be praying that the Savior brings some light into the midst of that darkness there. So that people can see hope. That they can see peace. That they can see joy. That they'll be able to recognize God's love. Because some of the places there are part of the Holy Land. Some of the places there are part of the land of our ancestors. Our faith ancestors. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. Wow. How many mornings do you get up now and you need some light? How many times about the end of the workday do you need some light? This is the part of the year where it seems like light doesn't really exist, especially when you have some cloudy, dim days. And part of the reason that we celebrate this birth of the Savior in this time of the year is because shortly this time of the year is going to be moving towards it's going to be lighter every day. The birth of Christ is celebrated during the time of the year when things are going to get lighter and lighter and lighter. By the way, just so you know, Jesus was probably born in the spring, not in December. We celebrate it in December because it does something about we're celebrating the light coming into the darkness. And we're replacing an old pagan holiday to give people something Christian to celebrate instead of the pagan holiday. You can go look that one up. But we're celebrating the light coming into the world. What an incredible thing! The light of God coming into this world to show the truth, the peace, the love, the joy, and the hope that we can have because of what God is doing for us, because we're redeemed. So I want to ask you, do you have an active relationship with the Savior? Do you have an active relationship with the Savior? I'm not asking you, did you come forward and join the church? I'm not asking you, did you get baptized? No matter how many years you've been walking with God, do you have an active relationship with the Savior? Are you spending time daily to find out what is God's will? Are you spending time to say, God, what do I need to hear from you today in this moment? Are you spending time doing that? Are you able to hear God speak? I'm hoping through the prayer courses that we've been through that you are able to hear God speak better than you ever have before. But have we arrived? There's always one more step to take on this journey until God calls us home. There's always one more step to understand the light better. I'm asking you, do you have an active relationship with the Savior? If not, you can recommit your life today. Let's pray. Lord, I can't imagine what it would be like to be Zechariah. What an incredible story he has. And Lord, really all we know about him is this song that he sung. But there's so much in this song. There's so, so much. Please, help us see the light that has come into the darkness. Whether we accepted Jesus as our Savior decades ago, or whether we need to today, Lord, help us to see the light that has come into the midst of this world to redeem us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to give us resolve to make a deeper commitment than we've ever made before. Lord, help us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.